John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Part of what healing is knowing the truth, that God heals. And when it does, it sets you free. Now, I was healed of cancer last week, and people laid on hands on me. And I don't know, how many of you ever rested in the Spirit? You know what that means? It's where the Holy Spirit puts you on the floor and you rest a little while. They did that to me several times last weekend. God is waiting for people to come forth who dare to take God at his word and to believe and inspire to do that. And in Mark 9, there's a thing where a father brings his son to Jesus because he's brought him to the disciples to be healed, but it didn't happen. He says they couldn't do it. And so the father says, you know, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, if you can, Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes. And so we believe and it's possible for us. And Jesus said, do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. If I'm not doing what my Father does, don't believe me. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? Statement of trust. If you don't see me doing what my Father does, don't believe me. And they emphasized over and over and over again when we're talking about healing that this is it. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Time and time and time again. Because they're showing things all through the Scriptures. And it wasn't just there. I go online and I have conferences I've been to and I've listened to different people at conferences. So I've looked them up online and I go listen to them periodically. And over and over and over again, the emphasis has been over and over again, get in the Word. Get in the Word. From all across the country, Chicago, Texas, California, get in the Word. Wonder if there's something they're trying to tell us. Is there something in here we probably ought to know? Probably. Now, I'm not a good reader. I'm dyslexic, and so I don't enjoy reading. In my car, I have CDs. And I play the CDs over and over and over, all the way through the Old and New Testament. And I plug them in and plug them in, plug them in, and I listen to them. Well, Jesus did what his father told him. Hosea 12:10 says, I spoke to the prophets and gave them many visions and told them parables through them. Told them parables. Old Testament, who's speaking? God. I told them parables. What did Jesus do? He told them parables. He healed. In Hosea, it says, yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord our God. In the Old Testament, God healed. Did God heal anybody in the New Testament? We're going to look at some of those. Okay, another one in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 20, 4 and 5. Isaiah went in and told the king of the land that he was going to die. And he turns around, he leaves, and he starts crying out. Hezekiah starts crying, and the Lord tells Isaiah to go back. It says, before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of the people, this is what the Lord God of our father David says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. In other words, I hear you. Okay, remember I talked about Roe, the God who sees me? Well, here he says God saw him. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. He heard his cry and his pleas. And he said, I'll heal you. I'll heal you. And that's what was taking place. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Amen. He's done it. There's nothing more we can do other than say, thank you. Now, I mentioned that last week, a year ago, I handed out some notebooks for us to keep thank you logs. Kelsey was talking to me last week, and she said, I got enough pages left to finish out November. And it was last November that I handed out the logs. Every day, she's been getting up, reading the scriptures, logging. Vaughn's been doing the same thing. Anybody else been doing that? I do it kind of hit and miss when I think about it. If I carry it with me, I don't have a chance because I'm doing something. And if I leave it home, I forget to do it. And then I go, and I could have had a V8, okay? But Matthew 10, 1 says, he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Jesus gave us the authority. Jesus gave us the authority to drive out sicknesses. Amen. Do we do it? Yes. Yes, at times. Yes, at times. But I, like I said, I worked 43 years in the medical field, in the hospitals, where we worked on people and healed them. So for me, it was kind of tough setting that aside and going, okay, God heals. Well, God heals, I think, through medicine too. Amen. I have a guy I worked with in the hospital. He has cystic fibrosis. And he and I would get in little tiffs about healing. And he said, God's not going to heal me. And he has a purpose for me. And so Scott and I were praying and we're saying, okay, bless little John. He doesn't believe in miracles, so bless the medicine, bless the doctors who's taking care of him. And we prayed that way for a couple of years. One day, then John comes into work, and he goes, guess what? I says, what? He says, I've been healed of my cystic fibrosis. And I said, really? What happened? He goes, the doctors came up with a medication for it. In cystic fibrosis, the cells have gates, and I don't understand it all, but these gates let things in and out of the cells, and we all have them. But in this case, they don't work, and so that's part of the cystic fibrosis. Well, what happened was 3% of the population of people who have cystic fibrosis have cells that work in a certain way, and they found a medicine that enables the cells to open and close. So technically, he's cured, but he has to take a pill for it twice a day, one in the morning, one at night. Not bad. $500 a pill. Wow. $1,000 a day. How many thousands of dollars is that a year? But there are people that provide it for him. So technically, he's there. So it's like, okay. Okay. And I've told you the story about my crooked finger before, right? My cramped finger is crooked because of me. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. I was at Walmart. Yeah, you've got one too. Uh-huh. We have the matching fingers. Okay. I'm walking out of Kmart. I trip and fall, and I'm carrying a book, and it wraps my little finger over here to my knuckle. So I got up, and I went, whoa, that hurts. So I flipped it, and it straightened out to about where it is now. And I went up to the hospital where I work, and I went in, and I'm sitting there, and the Spirit's saying, pull it and go home. And the lady sitting there goes, well, when I was a kid, they just pull it and send you home. But I let the doctor do it, and they walk in, and they, let me borrow your little finger here a minute. They go, $1,300.
Are you sending me the bill?
Yeah, I'm sending you the bill, yes. I hope you enjoy it, you know. $1,300, but we were leaving on a mission trip in three or four days, and so we went, and I carried luggage on the trip, and I got it out of line, but if I had pulled it and gone home, it would have been interesting how the Lord would have worked. Sometimes we just don't get the message. In Luke 5, 17 through 20, it says, one day he was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. So Jesus is sitting there, and the power is there for him to heal the sick. What does that tell you? It's not always there. But the power was there for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and he tried to take them into the house to lay him before Jesus. Then they could not find a way in to do this because of the crowd. They went up on the roof and lowered the man on his mat down through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. So in other words, they went up on the roof and they tore off part of the roof so they could lower him down. And there's four of them doing this. Okay, they dropped him right down in front of Jesus. Now, how would you like that if somebody come in and started tearing the tile off your roof? When Jesus saw their faith, Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance. And Jesus here saw their faith. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." What would you think if you're one of the ones letting him down? And he says, "Your sins are forgiven." How did the Pharisees respond? Who is this guy? What does he think he's doing? Who can forgive for sins except for God alone? Right? And Jesus said, "Oh, you don't think I have the authority, do you? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or you're healed? But that you may know you're healed. Get up and walk." And he does. He had the authority to do what it was in. We have been given authority. We have been given it. Do we use it? Not always. One of the interesting things is, one of the people that was laying hands on people, one of the things that she was most gifted in was cancer. She put me down. A little bit later on, somebody else came in. The guy came in. He goes, "I have prostate cancer." And she goes, "See that guy right over there?" And I went, because I thought she was pointing at somebody behind me. And it was like, she goes, "He just got healed of cancer. Go see him." It was my responsibility now to lay hands on this other man that had prostate cancer. The wonderful thing about cancer, you can't see when it happens. It just does. But sometimes people don't believe. When Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now, Capernaum's what? The place where he made water into wine. There, a centurion servant whom the master valued highly was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Why would he deserve that? He's a Gentile. He's not Jewish. Jews and Gentiles back there didn't associate with each other. You didn't go into a Gentile's house. But he says, "I don't deserve to have you come into my house. I don't trouble yourself. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you." I didn't even consider myself worthy. Do we ever do that? We don't consider ourselves worthy to come to the Lord. And this serenity says, "I don't deserve it. But say the word and my servant will be healed." You don't have to come. You don't have to do anything. Just say the word. And what did Jesus say? "I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel." Some people say that we don't deserve the Lord. They lie. Amen. Whosoever. Amen. Are you a whosoever? Preacher. Anybody not a whosoever? We are whosoevers. Amen. We have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we sang the love opening song. There's power in the blood. Some of those old songs are really cool. I like them a lot. That's how we're healed, through Jesus Christ and his blood. It's not that we have to earn anything. Like you were saying, paying tithing to earn so we could get better blessings. Wrong attitude. We give because we care, because we want to, not because we have to. The little lady went down and threw two coins into the temple treasury, two small copper coins, all that she had to live on. And what did Jesus say? She's given more than all the rest put together, because she gave everything she had out of love. In John 4, 46 through 51, once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Unless you see it, you won't believe it unless you see it. Okay, if you won't believe it unless you see it, are you working on faith? No, not at all. You're working on faith. Now, I was watching some of you. When you came in, you went over and you... There. That Sarah's safe to sit on. And then you sit down, right? No? Did you just walk over and plop down on the chair? You had faith that that chair was going to hold you? Unless you see a miraculous sign and wonder, Jesus told them, you will never believe. We go out to the airport and we get on a jet that weighs how many thousands of tons and pounds, and they take it down the runway at several hundred miles an hour, and it lifts in the air. We went to Taiwan on a mission trip. It took 11 hours to fly there and back. Trust. Trust. How many of you have been to Taiwan? Do you believe it's there?
Yes.
Okay. You will never believe. The royal official said, come, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servant met him with news that his boy was living. Does everybody get healed the same way? No. Jesus sometimes spit on people. In all my years of working at the hospital, never once did I spit on people. I worked in respiratory, so I had a few of them spit on me, cough up a big green one and go, oh, great, can you do that again? Never used spit. Made mud. Put it in people's eyes. Sometime a woman came when her daughter was sick and she was bugging Jesus, and he said, go away. It's not right to give the food to the dogs. She said, yeah, but we eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And what did he say? Your faith is great. Go home. Your daughter's fine. There's a lot of different things that take place in healing. Healing takes time. Miracles are instantaneous. Some of us at the conference experienced miracles. Instantaneous. Some take time. The guy, Jesus, he laid hands on him twice. What do you see? Well, I see people walking around. They look like trees walking around. So Jesus laid hands on him again. Sometime he said, go. Sometime he made spit. took people out, did different things. Jesus didn't heal the same way. Why? Because we're not all the same. And a lot of times after he healed somebody, he said, now don't tell anybody. Why? Because when they started telling everybody, it says that he couldn't find a place to sleep where he could get away from people. He couldn't go into the town anymore. But also the other thing, Jesus didn't heal everybody. Remember the guy that was by the pool at Bethesda? And he says, well, when this water gets stirred, I don't have anybody to help me in to the pool, because they believed that it was an angel stirring the water. And if you could get first one in, you'd be healed. He says, I don't have anybody to help me in. Like Joyce Meyer, she says, if it were me, I'd be laying by the edge of the pool. And as soon as the water stirred, I'd flip in there. Yeah. Yeah. And it's either heal or drown. Yeah, that's the way it would be. But Jesus didn't put him in the water. He said, get up and walk. And people who were healed, the blind guy that was healed, he put the mud on his eye and said, go to the pool at Siloam and wash. So he went and he washed and he could see. What did they do? They took him to the Pharisees and said, this guy got healed on the Sabbath. And like, how did this happen? And they interrogated his parents. And his parents says, don't ask us, ask him. He's of age. Be open to receiving what the Lord has to offer. It may take time. It may take time. You may have to go do something. Remember Naaman, a Syrian. He came, had leprosy. The king sent, the king's servant says, you know, he needs to go over to this prophet over here. He'll make him better. So the king says, go. So he goes over there, gets to the house. Elijah doesn't even come out of the house. He sends his servant, go tell the guy outside to go down to the Jordan River and dip himself 7 times. So the servant comes out and tells him what to do, and the guy's all hacked off. He says, I expected him to come out and see him or something, so he was going to head home because he was mad. He's, I got cleaner water than that back home. Who's the smart one in this case? The servant. And the servant goes, hey, why don't you go dip in the river just in case? Now, wouldn't you have gone if he'd asked you to do something difficult? But he's asked you to do something simple. Go ahead and do it. So Naaman did, and of course he was healed from his leprosy. And he became a believer in God. And what did he tell the prophet? Now, I'm going back to my country, and I'm a servant of the king. And I have to accompany the king into the when he bows to the gods. I believe in the true God. So don't hold that against me because it's my job. Be open. Amen. Be open. Not just to receiving healing, but to giving healing.
Amen.
Is healing always sickness? There's a lot. Healing, it can be emotional. It can be relational. It can be financial. God heals people's finances.
Amen.
God heals relationships. But again, it's in here. It's in here. Whether you pick it up and read it, listen to it on a CD, whatever. And there's all kinds of versions of it. These are the NIV. If you don't have an NIV, there's a book full back there, a rack full. Steal one. I mean, take one. If you go downstairs in that corner over on that side, there's 400 books there for you to check out, to read about stuff. On the wall over on this side, there's one bookcase full of cassettes. How many of you know what a cassette is? Many of you don't know what that is anymore. It's way back. But they're ones that I used to listen to when I had my little pickup truck. I don't have it anymore. It died. So down there, if you want one, take them. And there's books on that rack on that side, I believe it is. Take them. That's what they're there for. If you want Bibles, when Ralph used to come here, he would take 2 or 3 Bibles almost every week because he was giving them away. That's what they're for. And you know what? We know where we got those, so we know we can get more. We know we can get more. Your bulletin cover. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Pride blocks healing. If we will humble ourselves. I struggle with that a lot of times. I get fat-headed. Or I get really insecure. I told you, my 50-year graduation from high school came up. I was just looking forward to going to it. Then I realized, wrong motive. I wanted to wear my collar so I could go back and show all those people from the Wilson ward that I escaped. That I found Jesus. That I had worked all those years in the medical field. Whatever. Because in high school, I was bullied. I weighed 124 pounds. I was bullied. I was picked on. I wanted to show them. And it's like, wrong motive. So I didn't go. Now I wish I had. No. Anyway. So just, it's there. Open yourself up to it. Because sometimes it's pride that stops us. Pride that stops us. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to receive. After service, JD, up in the booth, will be right up here to pray for people and with people. Don't hesitate. If you feel like you need prayer, don't leave without it. Amen. Okay? Amen. Join us downstairs to socialize and talk. That's what we're supposed to do. The members of the church back then, they got together regularly. We can probably dig up some food out of the fridge for sandwiches or something if we need to. But come down and join. Don't be afraid. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you that you reach us where we are. I'm so glad, Lord, that you showed me years ago that there's a church for us that knows that you love us and you care about us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to reach out to people. Bring them in, Lord. Bring more people in. That we can join together in celebration. And if any of us are hurting, Lord, that you will touch us with your hand and heal us and bring joy into our lives again. So, Lord, you're awesome, and we know it. We know it's all you, not about us. So, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.